Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, it is so good to sing these songs of praise to you, to proclaim who you are and all that you've done. God, we are in awe of you, of how majestic you are, how incredible you are. Lord, you are so good. And we stand here so unworthy, but because of Jesus, we can boldly approach your throne. Because of your faithfulness and your patience and your kindness and your mercy to us, Lord, we can stand free and forgiven. Thank you for that. We never ever want to run past that. We never ever want to take that for granted. Lord, you are good and you are in control. And help us to remember that in the midst of the ups and downs of life, in the midst of things that are weighing on us. The anxieties, the concerns, the frustrations, the difficulties in life, Lord, there are many. But help us to remember the truth that you give us in your word, Romans 8, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that hope. We thank you for the joy that can only be found in you and the life that can only be found in you. Lord, as we open up your word right now, as we continue to worship you by doing so, Lord, would you open up our eyes? Help us to see clearly. Would you draw us closer to yourself? Draw us closer to one another. Help us to love one another better, even more well than we already do. Lord, help us to do that so that the watching world, as they see us, they'll see the love that we have for you and the love that we have for one another, and they will know that we belong to you. Lord, I pray that our witness would be bold, our witness would be strong, our witness would be faithful, because you, O God, are faithful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, he steps up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then tells him, he says, "Good for you. You nailed it. No person has given you this, but it's come from the Father. He's given you this wisdom. He's given you this right answer." And then Jesus says something that throughout the ages has maybe been misunderstood, but the power in what Jesus says is incredible. He says, "You are Peter. You are Petros. And upon this thing that you just said, this rock of the foundation of what you just confessed, the confession of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's the foundation that I will build my church, my Petros, my Petra. And nothing can come against that." Matthew 16 is important for us because we recognize what is the foundation of a church, the church. The foundation of a church is the confession of who Jesus is. If we miss on who Jesus is, we'll miss on everything else. You understand that? Because if we miss on who Jesus is, then everything else just starts to look like a group of people that likes to get together. And there's nothing wrong with a group of people that likes to get together. I think that's fun. You can have a good time. But that's not the hell-shaking church that Jesus has established. The church that Jesus has established is built on his foundation, and the foundation of who Jesus is, that is what sets us apart from any other organization or organism here on this earth. And in Romans chapter 16, Paul, he is writing to the church in Rome, and he gives some interesting insights on who a church should be, what a church should do, and the things that a church should pay attention to. And I think that it's important for us to remember what a true church is, remember what we as the church have as our mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And together, we focus on that foundation, who Jesus is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only one who can bring life to us. So if you have Bibles, would you open up to Romans chapter 16? In Romans chapter 16, we get a picture of what it looks like to live as a faithful church. And even as we just sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, it's one of my favorite songs that I can think of. It's been a song that's been present at every major event in my life, and especially in my spiritual life. It's a song that I reflect on, and every time that I sing it, I walk away feeling something slightly different. Sometimes I focus on God's faithfulness, as the song says, and I rejoice. Sometimes, maybe you can understand this, in light of God's faithfulness, I'm reminded of my own unfaithfulness. You don't have to raise your hand, but my guess is that a couple people agree with me there, huh? In light of God's faithfulness, our unfaithfulness looks so broken, and yet, Jesus, He's made it possible that we can have peace with God. He's made it possible that our unfaithfulness can be forgiven. And when God sees us, He doesn't see the sinners that we are. But if we are in Christ Jesus, He sees Jesus' righteousness. Jesus' faithfulness. And as I think about that song, I think about my own life. I think about my family life. And I think about my church life. And I want my life, my family's life, and my church's life to be described with that word, faithful. How do we as a church live faithfully in communication and community with one another and in respect to our God? And I think Paul actually lays it out very clearly for us in chapter 16. Chapter 16 is often one of those chapters that gets skipped over because Paul just seems to be greeting people. And there's nothing really of substance that some people will say. And they go, oh, well, let's just skip over that and let's move on. But no, don't do that. All scripture is breathed out by God. And all scripture is profitable for training, for reproof, for correction for us. So don't skip over any part of the Word of God. It's all good and it's all for us. And in Romans chapter 16, I think we see three things. I think we see a reminder that we ought to love God, a reminder that we ought to love one another, and a reminder that we ought to love truth. I think that is the blueprint for a faithful church. We start with our love for God. We then move into this truth that we are given one another, so we ought to love one another. And in the ups and downs of life, we have to hold fast and love truth that is there. In Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 1, let's just start reading. Verse 1 and 2 we'll read, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Senchia, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Paul highlights Phoebe. In the first verse of this chapter, he highlights a Greek sister in the Lord. This is coming off of the heels of the last few chapters where he is told again and again in different ways, the church in Rome, hey, these things that might divide you, forget about them. These things that might divide you, don't let them divide you. Your backgrounds, your ethnicities, the ways that you like to do certain things, don't let those things chip away at the unity that you have in Christ. And so it's fitting that he begins the chapter, Paul, a Jew, highlighting a sister in Christ who is Greek. More than that, he highlights her location, and however you want to say it, I think it's pronounced Senchia, Senchia. I've tried this many, many times, so you guys are going to get whatever comes out, all right? Point of that is, this location, the church that Phoebe is a part of, is only about 9.5 kilometers from where Paul is writing this book. He's writing this letter to the Romans, again, in about 57 AD or so. And he's writing this, and Phoebe and her church, they are just about 9.5 kilometers away. And so when Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of this church, it is most likely, almost certain, that Phoebe is the one that is carrying this letter to Rome. Paul isn't there in Rome yet. He's still in Corinth. And so it is most likely that Phoebe has the honor of carrying this letter to the Roman church. How cool is that? How cool is that that Paul says, hey, I'm sending this Greek sister in Christ to you. Welcome her. Welcome her in the way of the Lord, in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. She is a patron of me and of many and of myself as well. Paul then uses the word greet. He uses the word greet 17 times between verse 3 and verse 16. And he uses the word greet 21 times in the whole chapter. Why does he do that? Why does he use this word again and again and again? Couldn't he just say, hi everyone, it's good to hear from you, it's good to see you. Just make sure that you just give everybody a holy fist bump. Whatever it is, just say hi. No, he takes time. And he specifically names 28 or 29 people, however you would read it. And he calls these people out very specifically. Why? Well, a couple things come to mind as we read Paul's letters, the 13 letters that he wrote in the New Testament. As we read these, we recognize that those churches that he writes to, that he established, right? The church in Ephesus and others, that he goes to and he establishes these churches, he typically doesn't have long lists of greetings. And that kind of makes sense, right? Because you don't want to leave anybody out. If I were to say, okay, everyone, let's stand for a greeting, I'm going to greet you all by name, I might actually leave somebody out. That would be a big bummer. So I can just say, hey, welcome, church. It's good to see you all. But Paul, he's writing to a group of believers that he hasn't been to yet. Remember that. We've talked about that in previous weeks. He's writing to the church in Rome that is already established, and they're not, he hasn't visited them yet. So why does he name all these people that he's greeting? Well, now I think we get to look at another cool truth about the church. So far, we've been talking about the church as the local church. The beauty of local bodies of believers that are gathering together in specific places and specific times in order to magnify God. And what we get here is a picture in Romans 16 of the universal church. Because there are people that are using those Roman roads and they're traveling all around. And Paul has heard of some of these people and he's met some of these people who have been with him either in Corinth or in Ephesus or along his missionary journeys. He's encountered different people and he wants to call them out and say, hey, I haven't forgot about you. I still love you. I still care for you. It's good that you are there in Rome. I want you to be greeted. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, or Prisca, however it says that in this verse here, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. What an awesome couple. We've seen them travel around the ancient world multiple times. They've been kicked out of the church in Rome. They've been kicked out of Rome when the Jews were expelled from Rome. They are now able to come back. They spent some time in Corinth. And this awesome couple who Paul specifically says, hey, greet them because, you know what, they risked their lives for me. And it's not just me that they're caring about. All the churches of the Gentiles, this Jewish couple, they are caring for. They've been great patrons of, they have risked their lives and their livelihoods in order to further the mission of spreading the good news of the gospel. Greet them. Continues on and continues to use that word, greet, again and again and again. Emphasizing the love that we should have for one another, both in the local church as well as the universal church. The beauty of the universal church is that we share a bond with brothers and sisters across the world that we would share deeper than someone who is maybe our own neighbor, maybe our own family member that doesn't know Jesus. Why? Because we are united in Jesus Christ. Paul has spent all this time in Romans sharing with us the truth of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel, as Romans 1:16 tells us, is the power of God for salvation. And if the gospel is something that is powered and only possible by God himself, then you and I, we need to recognize that this gospel, it has the power to transform. It has the power to change. This gospel that we've been changed by, this power of God, it has equipped us to do good. It has equipped us to live as Christ followers in the world around us, and it has equipped us to live in community with one another. Continues on, and he says, verse 5, greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was first convert to Christ in Asia. That's a pretty cool designation. He's not talking about China here. He's talking about a specific region in the Roman Empire that would be closer to modern-day Turkey today. But this man has the honor of being the first one to put his trust in Jesus from that region. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Whoa, that's interesting, isn't it? So Paul is specifically calling out someone that he has heard about, that he is saying, hey, I've heard the good work that she's done for that church in Rome. And because of the bond that we share in Christ, I want you to greet her. I want you to specifically call her out and welcome her. The beauty of us as a church that loves God, loves one another, and loves truth, is that we are focusing on these first 16 verses with this call to welcome one another. This call together to care for one another. To see one another for who we are, not just who we would desire each one to be. As we keep reading the verse, and I will spare you reading each of the names because they sound different in my head than what comes out of my mouth. Again, I've tried. But I want you, on your own, to read each and one of these names. And as you read each and one of these names and all the greetings that go along with it, I want you to remember that these were real flesh and blood people. They existed in time. These people, they lived their lives and they risked their necks for the truth of the gospel. They loved one another. They had ups and they had downs. They had difficult times where it seemed like the world was crashing in on them. It seemed like they didn't quite know what to do next, but yet they were faithful. They trusted in their faithful God and they're commended for their good work. They trusted in their faithful God in spite of all the terrible circumstances around them. These folks there in Rome, they have endured the terror of the Emperor Claudius, who has expelled the Jews from Rome and who has persecuted Christians. At the time of Paul writing, they are experiencing the terror of the Emperor Nero, who is doing everything he can to squash the light of the gospel. And in the midst of all that, Paul says, hey, say hi to them for me. Because I care about them. And I know that they care about me. And the bond that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, both in the universal church and then the special specificity of the local church, we should take time to welcome one another. We should take time to go out of our way for one another. Then we get to verse 17. And after we have this instruction to welcome one another, this instruction that believers in a faithful church take time for one another, verse 17, Paul shifts his focus. He says, a faithful church, not only should you welcome one another, not only should you spend time with one another, but a faithful church, this beautiful thing that you got, this beautiful church that you got, and I'm not talking about the building here, you got to protect it. This beautiful bond that you have as brothers and sisters in Christ, you got to watch out. You got to be on guard from the arrows of the enemy that would come in. Because there are those that would be used from the enemy who would seek to divide this church. There would be those that are seeking to bring in false doctrine into this church. And Paul says, beware. Verse 17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Paul's words here are very clear and they're very stern. Watch out. There are those that are seeking to cause divisions. There are those who are seeking to create obstacles to sound doctrine. There are those who would be seeking to teach and promote false doctrine. Throughout all of his letters, Paul spends time writing to the churches, explaining to them the importance of guarding good doctrine and guarding against false doctrine. And he does it once more in the section where he's talking about the beauty of the church. A faithful church welcomes one another, and a faithful church protects one another. A faithful church makes sure that they are doing everything to guard good, sound doctrine. There's something that I go to probably about once a week, actually, in my mind. So what happened is, this is not that long ago, probably, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. I was in first service, and I was talking, and I was preaching, and it was like one of those times where like there starts to get some sweat on my brow, and I was really giving it, right? Then I get done, and I walk out, and some folks said, hey, you know what, great sermon, praise the Lord, awesome. You said Acts 8, I think you meant Acts 9. And I said, I think you're right. And so the first person that said that to me, I was like, awesome, good, they're paying attention, that's great. And then about the 12th person that said that to me, I said, you know what, praise the Lord, thank you for paying attention, I got it, I won't mess it up for second service. But I think about that often, because I think about the role that the pastor and the church play for one another. The pastor's role is to point people to Jesus, always and only to Jesus. And the church's role is to make sure that the pastor is pointing them to Jesus. And like those Bereans that Paul talks about, those people that are always checking everything that they hear against the Word of God, that's the church's role, is to make sure that everything that comes out of my mouth or anyone else who stands up here, it's got to be in line with God's Word. Because sometimes it's just a little mix-up of a chapter in the book of Acts. Other times, it could be something a little bit more serious. So how do we, together collectively, how do we make sure that we are guarding against false doctrine and we are protecting true doctrine? How do we do that? Well, we got to be in the Word. Because you wouldn't know that I said Acts 8 when I meant Acts 9 if you didn't know the Word yourself. Or you didn't have a Bible flip open and say, wait a minute, I think he's in the wrong chapter. And don't worry, second service, they got chapter 9. I said it right. So together, we need to make sure that we are steeping ourselves in the Word of God. And together, we are making sure that we are holding fast to what is true. Verse 18, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and by flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. What an awesome prayer for us to pray for ourselves and for those around us, right? God, would you help me to be wise to what is good and ignorant to what is evil? Lord, would you protect my heart and my mind so that I focus on the good things, so that I am steeped in the truth of your word, and would you keep me from evil? Would you keep me from the things that would seek to divert my attention away from Jesus? Together as a church, we gotta make sure that our foundation remains the foundation that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 16. Together as a church, we got to make sure that we are built upon the confession of Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what we must always be coming back to. Verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Christ be with you. Excited for that? Is that a cool verse? The God of all peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The beauty of the church is that we are God's mission, we are God's program here on earth. And he has left us here on earth to do his will. And together as a church, we are united in who Jesus is. We are united in our love for one another because together we have been transformed. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are no longer our old selves. We have been made new. And if we are new, if I'm new, you're new. And together in Christ, we don't have any condemnation. And so we march forward, carrying the good news of the gospel by which we have been saved. And we share that with the dying, dead, hopeless, helpless world around us. We bring light into the darkness, and we proclaim our Savior, and we make his name great. And together, as we do that, Jesus is faithful. The God of all peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Paul then takes another break. He says, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So now the greeting is on the other end. He says, hey, on this end, where I am, Timothy says hi. So does Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. I, Tiritus, I'm really messing this up. And I get to heaven, I'll have to apologize to these friends who wrote this letter, greet you. Just a quick aside, verse 22, this is Paul's amanuensis. This is the one who is writing all these words for Paul as Paul is dictating them to him. I appreciate that because my hands have gotten so used to typing things that if I write anything out by longhand, my arm starts to hurt. Verse 23, Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. How special is that? There's a greeting from one local church to another local church. The bond in Christ is so universal in that way. Verse 25, now to him who is able. What an awesome phrase. No matter what comes after that, it's a beginning of a doxology, a praise to our God. And that's the third thing I think that we as a faithful church need to always be sure that we are doing. We are praising our God. Now to him, that's where praises go. Not to us, not to looking at building ourselves up or puffing our chests up. No, now to him. And him alone, because he is only the one that is only worthy of all worship and all praise. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that the gospel has been disclosed, that Jesus has come on the scene? And through the prophetic writings have been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. Verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be so that in the church in Rome, there is praise to the Lord. And let it be so that in the church in Wapaka, there is praise to the Lord. And let it be so that in the church, specifically Faith Community Church, let it be so that we love God, that we love one another, and that we love truth. And that is done by us welcoming one another. This is more than just a, hey, how are you, good. This is stepping into one another's lives. How can I pray for you? What are the burdens that are weighing you down right now? You know what? I got some burdens that are weighing me down. Would you mind praying for me? Sometimes if we begin in a humble state, if we get a little bit vulnerable, that will cause others to be vulnerable as well. We welcome one another with a welcome of God. We greet one another in such a way that we are going beyond just the surface level and we really, truly care for one another. And part of us caring for one another is that we protect one another, is that we guard one another from the false teachings that would seek to get us off focus, that we remind one of another of our foundation that is who Jesus is. And in all of that, we have a lot of reason to praise the Lord, don't we? I don't care what your day was like yesterday. I don't care what your day will be like later on today. We have reason to praise the Lord. Because if you truly are claiming the name of Jesus, then that means that you have been transformed from death to life. If you truly are claiming the name of Jesus, that means that hope is yours. Joy is yours. Peace is yours. If you are claiming the name of Jesus, that means that you are fighting the battles that you're fighting on a daily basis, not from a position of weakness, but from a position of victory. Because he calls you a more than a conqueror. And so in Christ Jesus, we have victory. And we praise the Lord that he has saved us. He is working to remove the power that sin has on us. He's sanctifying us. And he's faithful to glorify us. So you have a lot of reason to praise the Lord. Amen? We have a lot of reason to lift up the name above all names. The King above all kings. The one only true God. We have so many reasons to thank him for the work that he has done in us, the work that he is doing in us, and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's what a faithful church looks like. A faithful church, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your good word. Would you remind us of our foundation? The truth that we are built on is the truth of who Jesus is. Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel that has transformed our hearts. Lord, we pray that as we live out our lives as those that are transformed, God, that you would deepen our love for one another. That you would deepen our love for truth. You would help us to guard and protect one another. And Lord, in everything, let us give you praise. We praise you, Lord, because you are good, and we praise you because you are God. There is none like you, and you alone have brought about our salvation. So we thank you for that, Lord. Would you continue to embolden us as we share the good news gospel message, and would you keep our eyes fixed and focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Spend some time fellowshipping with one another. We'll see you next week.